Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, are you having issues with your answering machine? I keep trying to call, but it says that the messages are full.
No, Sam, that must be Echo Park Jimmy again. Say, Patrick, how many messages did he leave this time?
Not enough.
How you guys like hanging out on the deck?
It's really nice.
It's beautiful out.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty nice. It's not like
very comfortable.
It's good because usually with the blaring summer sun of the mid-Atlantic, it's kind of hard actually to be out on this deck.
You're right.
This time of day, it's really nice.
It's beautiful,
pleasant
right now.
With the cloud cover. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. So we got to get right into this. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster,
and I'm Sam Lisker.
Thanks for joining us this week, Sam.
Hey, glad to be here.
Now, another character, another key part of the show,
character,
a guy in some ways, sort of a, in spirit at least, a co-host
I
of
would
the
say.
Show, mm-hmm. I would say, is our friend Echo Park Jimmy out in Los Angeles, dog walker to the stars. My dog is walking around somewhere here in the fenced-in backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he would like to come over and walk Lottie, he's more than welcome
welcome.
Yeah. She would enjoy that. But anyway, he calls our phone line. And let me explain to the listeners, the way we have this set up, we have it set up through like a Google Voice account.
Yes.
And there's a 3-minute limit.
That's right.
Not that we set, that's set by Google Voice, I guess.
Yeah. The powers that be.
And when you call in, we ask people to call in to, tell us about anything music related. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we'll take their voice and we'll put it on the show. We love to do that. We like to hear people talk about something they're interested in. But most people will do that within the 3-minute time limit.
That's right.
when Jimmy started calling, he would just blow right through that and then call back and then call back and call back. And we like his comments so much that we kind of stitch it together and make whole episodes out of just Echo Park Jimmy calls. And this time, I think he set a new record. He called a series of 10 messages.
Wow. My goodness.
Right. I put this together yesterday, stitched them all together, maybe did just some slight editing because, you're talking 10 times 3. This is pretty long, but it's pretty good stuff. So let's just get right to the call.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What band are you talking about?
The Cruisers. Eddie and the Cruisers.
What are you saying, Joe?
I'm Eddie Wilson.
Oh, come on. Eddie Wilson died when his car went over a bridge. Didn't he? Didn't he?
That's right. It's Eddie Wilson. I'm back from the dead. What's up, Rockin' the Suburbs? Jim and Patrick. Echo Park Jimmy here. Oh, I've been lost. I've been down a deep dive hole of Rockin' the Suburbs episodes. You guys are just in the zone lately. I mean, you're covering everything. You're everything from Greta Van Fleet to, just random Jack White nuggets. Just, you're all over the map, but you're just covering everything. I love the community too. I feel like, there's journalists listening. There's musicians listening, there's fanboys, there's podboys. I love just the community, from Bob Popick at the stadium to Jimmy Linetti fixing gloves. But, you don't need Echo Park Jimmy. So I've been in a deep dive. I mean, there's even a correction guy. Craig Rosen should be like the guy in the interruption who does the corrections at the end of episodes. It's the end of the world as you know it. It was actually, these are the lyrics. And Echo Park Jimmy had it wrong. Like, Craig Rosen should have like a little spot at the end, like correcting all your random mistakes because you're having too much BS. But, I've just been catching up on music documentaries because you guys give me that thirst for everything, but I realize that we all are discovering things backwards. Like, depending on how old you are, you love something, and then you have to go backwards and find the music. Hey, Jim and Patrick, EPJ. I was just noticing, you know, probably the most resonant series you've done so far is Rush. And it was just, it played to your strengths. 5 days, 5 albums, great guest stars, and you covered what, you know, everybody should do and put the little, you always put a little nugget at the end of every episode that's awesome, but you ran the board on the Rush week. From the Pavement song to the Geddy Lee singing with Bob and Doug McKenzie in the Great White North to the I Love You Man clips. About the only one you left out was some random show I remember called Togetherness, where the two lead dudes had a bonding moment doing, you know, air drumming to the Tom Sawyer drum solo. But everybody's done that in their car. We've talked about that. But you really ran on the board on Rush. And the only story I have to add is I had a live show story, too, that I remember to this day with Kyle Kretzinger. I'm sure Jim remembers Kyle Kretzinger. He's like a renowned Rush fan. And we went to see Rush at the Richfield Coliseum. And we stayed at the Holiday Inn near the Richfield Coliseum. And as luck would have it, Rush was staying at the Holiday Inn. And since we were, you know, mischievous kids, we like snooped around, stalked them enough to get them. Enough people were stalking them at the hotel that they said, okay, listen, we'll answer one question, get in line outside in the parking lot. No pictures. They hated being photographed. But one question, and then leave us alone and let us play our live show. So, you know, mine was stupid. Like, are you playing Toledo? Like, I don't know, eh? But the main thing that was funny is we sent Kyle Kretzinger's mom to hide behind a car and try to take a picture of us with the band. And the security detail busted her. Like, we're going to need that film lady. You know, they didn't push her around or anything, but like, no pictures. So there's no photographic evidence. But that show, it was the Grace Under Pressure tour. And I remember I loved the set list so much because they played new stuff like you have to, and then the hits. And I remember going home and doing a cassette version using all their live albums and using Grace Under Pressure and building it on a cassette, like the exact set list, including they opened with a Three Stooges clip. Hello, hello, hello. And I put that on the cassette. And then I go to the streaming service and I found that you can actually find that tour. They've released so many live albums that they have the Grace Under Pressure tour, including that opening clip. So it's very amazing. The only other nuggets on Rush are, I love how they have a 3-part song on 3 consecutive albums, but it goes backwards, ending on Signals with part 1 of Fear. Moving Pictures has part 2 of Fear. And then part 3 is called Witch Hunt. I think I got that wrong. But I think part 1 is actually on Grace Under Pressure. Part 2 is on Signals. And part 3, Witch Hunt, is on Moving Pictures. But that's what I'm saying. It's confusing. It goes backwards. But I love Rush so much. So thank you for always bringing that stuff back and trying to figure out how we love things, because I watched Eddie and the Cruisers, and I watched Eddie and the Cruisers Part 2, Eddie Lives. And it's just, it's amazing 80s cinema with Michael Pere and music by John Cafferty, trying to channel Bruce Springsteen. But I did some, like, looking into this because I was like, why do I love this so much? And I realized, like, much to, I bet, Jesse Jackson's chagrin, Bruce Springsteen saw that, I know, secretly. He's like, bring me a screening copy of Eddie and the Cruisers. Why do people love this? And he stole Dancing in the Dark from On the Dark Side. You all know, On the Dark Side, oh yeah. And then compare it to Dancer in the Dark. but I'll get to that in a second. I just love Eddie and the Cruisers because they had a delayed release. It came out in the fall of 1983 because of a mistake. And so the core audience of teenagers was back in school, never saw it. And then the soundtrack got popular because people are like, this is the Bruce Springsteen I've been looking for. Melody, pop hooks, kind of a 60s, more of a 60s tinge. People loved it so much that the movie found a huge cult following to the point they did a sequel. But if you watch them together, it's a hilarious experience. But the first movie is renowned for its just terrible ending. Roger Ebert said that it was like, the ending is so bad that it ruins everything about the rest of the movie. And I won't ruin it for you, but Eddie lives, but nobody finds out. And Joey Pantoliano walks away with, you know, the master copies of their secret album and makes all the money. It's like, doesn't make sense. So part two is just like a how-to of how to make an awesome comeback as Eddie Wilson and the Cruisers. The dark side's coming on, nothing ain't real. You never know just how I feel. From out of the shadows, she walks like a dream. Make me feel crazy, make me feel so mean. Nothing's gonna save me from a love that's blind. Flip through the dark, shot across the line. Okay, that's Eddie. And then you got, like, I'm dying for some action. The lows of everybody dancing in the dark. On the dark side. Everybody is a mashup. It's a mashup. But, you know, he was scared. He thought Eddie and the Cruisers were coming after him. So Bruce had to get out there. He had to get out. But, you know, Rock in the Suburbs has taken over Echo Park Jimmy's world because everybody shouts him out. And I realized from watching the guy who did the love sign, his name was like Eddie Clark. Nobody knew him. And he's like, I'm going to call myself Eddie Indiana because I'm from Indiana. And I'm going to do a love sign with the O crooked. And then it's history. And he became famous just for one thing, changing his name to Eddie Indiana. So anyway, the influence is starting to show itself in pop culture from the Rock in the Suburbs podcast starring Jim Linehan, Patrick Foster. Most notably, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stole the perfect pop. They're like, you know, hey, what's his name? Little Steven comes out. He's like, hey, we've got a new category, Hall of Fame. It's called the Hall of Fame Singles. And these people, they can still make the Hall of Fame, but we're just going to put them in for one song. They did Louie Louie, Whiter Shade of Pale, one of the greatest songs ever. Just that's a whole other story. Steppenwolf, Born to Be Wild, Rocket 88, which is another amazing song. And The Twist, Chubby Checker, and my favorite, Link Ray's Rumble. If you've ever seen the documentary, It Might Get Loud, you have to just see this clip of Jimmy Page talking about Rumble. And they film him listening to the song, and he's like, oh, and then this part. And it's amazing. But the whole time I'm watching Little Steven talk about this, I'm like, ah, this is perfect pop songs. Just like, we're going to do a perfect pop category. These were perfect pop songs. Like, you got to sue the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame boys. But they were good songs. They were good little stories with them. And it got me thinking, I don't know if the Rock in the Suburbs crew has access to these shows, but I just kind of like did a deep dive on music on TV because less and less music on Fallon and Colbert, just one song. It's like, you need more. You need a whole show. Last Call with Carson Daly has become just a cheesy show, but they just take a camera crew out to like the Wiltern or, you know, the Greek Theater and they film the band. So you get these like actual feel of the concert. They even film the sign out front, which I know Jim likes to do. Get a picture of the band name on the venue. That's always good. So I do about two lofty lions. I do a deep dive almost every day because they're rocking the suburbs. Like, y'all wouldn't shut up about Jason Isbell, and then he shows up on Austin City Limits, and then his girlfriend, Amanda Shire, shows up, and then it's like, oh, wait, they're in love. And then, who is this Jason Isbell? And then he was in the Drive-By Truckers. So it's just, you could do a deep dive all day on just Jason Isbell. And he did an amazing thing on SNL. So I was just thinking of music on TV. You got your SNL. You got two songs from whoever is the hot band of the moment. But not enough. Austin City Limits I love because even though it's on PBS, it's usually 30 or 60 minutes uncut, you know, for the most part, trimmed a little of an entire set. You got your MTV Live, formerly Palladia. That shows a lot of festival shows, but they just chop it all to hell with like one song. It's pretty unwatchable. Graham Norton on the BBC America, he'll have a good band every week, and he brings them over on the couch with the celebrities to talk to them. Like, Leon Bridges was on, and it was like, he looked like a deer in headlights. But that shows respect to the musician. I love that. I don't think they're making Jules Holland anymore. That was my favorite, because they put five bands all in a ring, like, to fight it out and, like, say, like, oh, Arctic Monkeys are way better than this band, and because they had to look at each other in the face. But in general, I have to say, Axis TV. I don't know if everybody has access to this. AXS. That's like the dumping ground of everything quality. Every single documentary will show up there about music. And they air these unending episodes of classic albums, which I'm sure you guys know about. But my favorite is Rock Legends, because it's like intelligent, like Rock in the Suburbs type folks, like journalists and DJs, like talking heads, but very intricate histories of bands and very British. So like, it sounds awesome to like Cocaine, they say, and like Boogie Woogie and the little nuggets about how the Kinks got screwed coming over to America, or how like just by the Musicians Union, how, you know, Eric Clapton was in four bands because he's like, this isn't good enough. We aren't this band. We have to be the Birds. We got to be the Yardbirds. But there's just endless really cool documentaries on Axis. 20 Little Leopards Lapped at Two Lofty Lions. The Sisyphean Dreamer, My Fibula and Femur Hold the Weight of the World. Jim and Patrick, I just wanted to say the two best music documentaries I saw on Axis TV. Mr. Mojo Rising, where they break down L.A. Woman and why that's the Doors' just ultimate album. And it's so creative because they open each segment with like a billboard. Like, you think you're looking at a real billboard on Sunset Boulevard, and it's each song on the album. And there's really good stories in that. And I love, probably most of all, they do just really narrow focus documentaries. Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd. They track down everybody, the cover artist, the background singers, the guy who sang Have a Cigar. And they have David and you know, just whew, everybody talk about how amazing that album is. And the most chilling moment is Syd Barrett shows up while they're recording that album. I don't want to spoil it, but Syd Barrett just haunts that documentary, and it haunts their eyes, and it's just, and everything about that album is hilarious. Like, the album is black, wrapped in black plastic. You had to open it, and the record company freaked out about it. It's just, it's precisely what you need. But I think the episodes, I just wanted to say, the episodes that resonated most were the bands where one song defined them, and you realize you could apply that to anybody, not just Not a Surf or Soul Asylum. Nirvana, you know, their best songs to a real fan aren't their hits. Soundgarden, all they ever play is Black Hole Sun. That's not Soundgarden. R.E.M., Losing My Religion, that's not R.E.M. I mean, you could apply it to anything. But I just wanted to say there's a couple early candidates for songs of 2018 I wanted to get in. Nameless Faceless by Courtney Barnett is the ultimate thing that Jim loves. The bouncy melody with dark lyrics. I want to walk in the park in the dark. Men are scared that women will laugh at them. Women are scared that men will kill them. I hold my keys between my fingers. She's just that laconic delivery, but it's just she nails the lyrics with the melody, and you don't even notice that it's like, oh, my God, this is insane. Hey, come on down and see Poison down at the Mile and Dragway with Cheap Trick opening. Get there early. Hey, Jim and Patrick, I just wanted to say, if you haven't been keyed into this T-Bone Burnett series, Drawn and Recorded. It's the other thing that I was like, they stole this from Rock in the Suburbs. It's amazing little stories, but they animate them. I know, you've heard this before, Drunk History. Mike Judge has a series, like the country songs of like, it's animated. It's a story and it's animated, but these little nuggets, right now the fourth season just started on DirecTV, and T-Bone Burnett narrates them, if you've seen any of them. But now they're doing like Grimes, they're doing like just really cool stories and animated. But that was the show I wanted you to know about. And I just wasn't sure if you knew about all the good shows, that's all, guys. And all the good music, it's just endless. And I know you get this every time. You're like, why don't you do a show about this? Why don't you do about a show about Ty Segall? But if you know Ty Segall, Everyone's a Winner is also an early candidate for Song of 2018. But I love The Main Pretender because of this out-of-tune sax solo. But if you want a Ty Segall track, Main Pretender. But if you want a cover, you got the Hot Chocolate cover. Everyone's a Winner, baby. And then also Leon Bridges, Bet Ain't Worth the Ham. Bet Ain't Worth the Ham. But I know, I've gone on for 7 hours. Please forgive me, Jim and Patrick. I just love rocking the suburbs. Of it all. Hey, Jim and Patrick, Echo Park Jimmy. I hope I didn't break the machine. But the most important story is that I did see U2 on their current experience tour in Las Vegas, and I lucked into getting to go backstage. It was better than Rush in Cleveland. It was going backstage and seeing the guts of the U2 operation, one person by one person. It was like being Charlie Rose in his happier days. You know, that Rolling Stone tour, like that Cameron Crowe tour, like, hey, Jim, this is the sound guy. This is this guy. Each band member in U2, you guys, has their own sound man. So it's like four concerts going on at the same time. Bono, The Edge, Larry, Adam. And they have a guy standing by each soundboard and under the stage. And if one of those guys, God forbid, has a heart attack, there's a guy standing next to him to take over. So we walk to each guy, introduce, you know, each guy, and then we walk on stage. And I almost passed out when I walked by Larry's drum set. And then we saw the Edge's guitar case. Oh, and all his buttons. And it was like, literally, I couldn't shut up about it. It was Wizard of Oz, Man Behind the Curtain. Like, I don't know if I should see this, but it was very religious experience. And then seeing him live right after and being like, that's where that is. They come out of there. It's just like, whoa. And to make the experience complete, because I saw the pop tour in Las Vegas and went to the after party with U2, and you know, Cameron Diaz and Michael Stipe were there. It was like at the Hard Rock hotel and casino. I stayed there and got a room at the Hard Rock. And if any Rock in the Suburbs fans have not stayed at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, I would recommend it highly. We stayed on like the REM automatic for the people floor. There was pictures of that album art all over the doors. And we stayed in like the Freddie Mercury, Jimi Hendrix room. There's pictures on each wall, in the bathrooms, in the hallways, and the hallways are very rock and roll. And I think we must have stayed in John Entwistle's room of the last night of his life, because I was just, it's just, that whole experience gave me chills. And, you know, and it was actually that I was there the day that Arctic Monkeys' new album came out, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Boom, 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 boom. I would give it 4 stars out of 5. And that's unheard of. You new places keep on popping up since the Exodus. It's all getting gentrified. Hey, Echo Park Jimmy, one last note. I gotta walk a dog. Gotta get going. All right, all right, all right. But there is still the experience of watching videos on MTV. MTV Live shows blocks and blocks of videos endlessly, but it's terrible, terrible music. It's just endless new music by Drake and people you've never heard of that were discovered on YouTube. But it made me think of my ultimate video experience, Echo Park Jimmy, when he was Toledo Jimmy. My last job was at a WB affiliate, if you remember that network. And it was the third shift editing videos for commercials. But we also had giant satellite dishes to get the network feeds in. And they were supposed to be tuned to certain things. But when I was there third shift, I would tune it to MTV2. They had just invented MTV2. It didn't have a place on cable yet. It was just available if you had a giant satellite dish. Not a DirecTV dish, like a giant satellite dish. Like a coordinates 5252624968. And then it would beam in commercial-free MTV2 when it was just invented. And it was exquisite. And I would remember just watching Fiona Apple, Criminal, and Spice Girls. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. At third shift, by myself, it was amazing. Getting paid to watch endless videos. I loved it.
And there you go.
My. Okay.
Yeah. I'm speechless.
Yeah, I don't quite know where to begin. He touched on a lot of points there. Everything from Rush to that one network that he mentioned with the music documentaries, Access TV.
Access TV, mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that.
And documentaries and T-Bone Burnett.
Yeah. I didn't know that show.
No, yeah. Me neither. Mm-mm. Yeah. It all sounds very interesting. I'm going to have to check that stuff out. But let me tell you, that Rush story, golden. That was hysterical.
So, yeah, he kind of says, you know, that's it. Then he calls back and says, oh, by the way, I was backstage at the U2 concert in Las Vegas. Oh, yeah.
Cameron Diaz was at the after party. Like, what?
We don't really know what kind of life he's leading.
I don't.
What kind of stars is he walking?
He's like Forrest Gump. That's right. He just pops up in the most random places. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Shout out to Kyle Kretzinger, old high school friend of mine and Jim's.
He was really into Rush.
Back in the day, he was very much into Rush. The only thing I want to say, there's obviously way too much to get into there right now.
People are going
to
be dissecting this for decades. There's going to be a podcast just analyzing his calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some place like maybe Ithaca College will start a course.
Where that's right. EPJ just, Exploder. That's
yeah. Right. I should pitch that. I should pitch that to our dean. Hey, so this guy, Echo Park Jimmy, we really need to look into this stuff. That's
right. Scholars will study this work.
That's right.
For centuries, perhaps.
We're preserving it.
The only thing I want to say is I love that he mentioned the community, because that's my favorite thing about doing the show is that we have built this odd little community of like-minded, you know, listeners,
yeah,
I think,
I know.
From different walks of life and people who are mentioned regularly because they provide feedback or whatever. And I think it's nice to hear that other people are connecting with those listeners. You know, like that to me is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And just want to say to Echo Park Jimmy, you're a valuable part of this community. Don't ever leave. Don't ever change. Don't ever go away. We'll be here for you always.
Echo Park Jimmy lives.
That's right. He's going to start seeing graffiti on the side of a railroad bridge now.
Good stuff. All right. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I hope people enjoyed that. And that, the way you can leave one message, let's say one.
Start small.
Is you call the Suburban Party Line. The number is 612-440-1984. There you go. Do that. Call. And we will put your voice on an upcoming episode.
Yeah, and I would just like to note, don't be intimidated by the majesty that's Echo Park Jimmy. None of us can call up and do something that brilliant, but still, you're valuable. It's all tapestry, right?
Right.
It takes a village.
Yeah, yeah. And he also has little interludes. He does his voice messages like a song or like an album.
Yeah.
Yeah. First he'll tell a story, then he'll go into a little song break, then he'll be like, oh, hey, guys.
The whole Eddie and the Cruisers thing was pretty epic.
That was great.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we could talk about that sometime later. I saw that movie in the 80s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. And I don't really remember anything about it. So maybe we should watch it.
Go back and review that.
And I never saw the sequel. Did you see it?
I got about halfway through it, I think.
I'll have to give this a go. I wonder if it's streaming anywhere. I can just watch it and then see if it's actually if it is what he describes.
Well, it's quite a theory he's espousing there.
Yes. All right, let's go. I gave you the phone line. You can also email rock@suburbspod.com if you'd rather do that or comment on any of this. Or hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
Thanks again, Jimmy. Don't be a stranger. And we have some other listener feedback the rest of this week.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All the good music, it's just endless.